The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH, and also on 96.5 TIC. A friend of the show, this is like her third appearance, I think it is, Dr. Christine Schlichting of Hopewell Health Solutions in Glastonbury and other locations in Connecticut, including West Hartford. And we're here to talk about politics, because I know that that's a topic that drives everybody crazy one way or the other from all political spectrums. And certainly this past week, there's been a lot of political frustrations and also people who are happy about it. But we have to talk about how to control emotions and reactions, because things can from time to time become a little bit too heated, too extreme. Dr. Schlichting, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, Morgan. Happy to be here.
Where do you want to begin with the conversation on politics? Certainly a lot of people have their thoughts and their opinions, but emotions can run really high, can't they?
Yeah, so I think this election in particular was extremely emotionally draining and exhausting for a lot of people. I think the media has a lot to do with it, and just the amount of information that we get on a regular basis. You know, in terms of really social media and all the channels and just the continual barrage of information and a lot of different kinds of information, which it was interesting from a psychological perspective to kind of observe this election from a distance, you know, because I think they really, the media and I think a lot of the both sides used a lot of psychology to sway people in certain ways. And I found it to be kind of gross, to be honest. I think there was a lot of slurs that were being used from one side to another side. There was a lot of demeaning comments about people. And I really felt like there was a lot of divisiveness, which creates then a lot of hatred and suspicion among the population. And I do feel like we're now sort of seeing a lot of the effects of that. But I think that started even before the election results came in.
I want to draw on the fact that you mentioned media. Now, people might think radio, television, but also social media, which you mentioned. And I wanted to focus on social media because this is now something that people can use, the average Joe, to share their thoughts, good or bad, to comment on what somebody else is saying, a big forum, really, online that didn't exist to the extent that it is today 20 years ago and certainly did not exist at all 40, 50, 60 years ago or further back. So, for instance, in my role, I get a lot of heated political remarks sometimes directed at me because of my role in news. Now, I can take it. I know that some people can't take it. What does this mean when people can have access to something at their fingertips to anonymously make posts, to troll others, say things that aren't true, or if they're true, they spin it? What's your reaction to the social media component that has really been driving political rhetoric in maybe the last 10 to 15 years?
Yes, thank you for saying that, because those are two very different things. Social media and media I put in two very different categories. It's very, very different to read an article that has been written by a media outlet or listen to a radio station rather than listening and watching something on TikTok or Facebook or Instagram, or it's mostly TikTok really that I think is driving a lot of people's emotions because it is such a personal platform and is based solely on conjecture and people's opinions. It's not based on fact. And, you know, there are some places on TikTok that are information-based. A lot of it is emotionally-based information. The information that people put out is set to trigger certain kinds of emotions in people, which is what keeps people watching that information. And it's all based on an addiction algorithm. So you're constantly being fed things that then, like, for example, if TikTok sees that you are paying more attention to certain posts where people are talking very negatively about another group of people, they will then feed you more information, giving you lots and lots and even more graphic and extreme information on that sort of opinionated view of things. So hatred and rage is addictive and additive. So that rage and anger become something that TikTok recognizes that you like to listen to or watch, and it will feed you more of that formula. And over time, you will then start becoming a person who believes that this opinion is true and that there is a lot of information out there that gives credence to your opinion, so it must be true. That is very, very dangerous. That is very false. But the issue is that, again, we are not being good consumers of social media, and we are looking at social media as a news platform when it is really an opinion-based platform. And it really shouldn't be used as anything other than just something to, honestly, my opinion of TikTok is it shouldn't be used for anything other than maybe just to have fun or to look for places to travel to or recipes. Like, I don't look to TikTok to give me opinions about how I should feel about things. But that is not where people are going. And certainly post-election, we see an incredible amount of information that's coming out that is all opinion, emotionally based information.
I'm Morgan Cunningham, and you're listening to Face Connecticut. My guest is Dr. Christine Schlichting from Hopewell Health Solutions in Glastonbury. And we're recording this on location in Glastonbury, so it's good to sit down with Dr. K, as she sometimes goes by. We're having a conversation about heated political discourse and emotions and opinions that have come up certainly during this election cycle, and it's come up during other election cycles as well. We're talking about social media. Now, Dr. Schlichting, you work with kids. You also work with adults, two very different groups. But the social media factor is definitely affecting both groups, but differently. How could you explain to our listeners what the difference is between maybe a 15-year-old getting opinion from, say, TikTok and not fully understanding it, and maybe an adult who has their own opinion and they seek that information that they agree with on TikTok or Facebook or wherever?
Well, to tell you the truth, there's not that much of a difference lately. I've been actually very surprised about a lot of adults getting deep down the social media rabbit hole, especially with the election and different opinions that came up during that. So one of the things we have to be very careful about is what happens when social media or just tech overload starts changing our behaviors. That is really when we need to really start looking at, you know, where are the problems. And what I mean by that is how much time during the day are you spending scrolling through and looking at social media? How many real conversations face-to-face are you having with other people? How much time are you taking away from activities that you used to enjoy? Are you not going to the gym as much? Are you not going out with other people as much? Have you stopped talking to family members? Are you isolating yourself? Are you feeling depressed? Are you feeling even suicidal? So it's not uncommon that tech addiction can lead to deep depression, social anxiety, and then sometimes suicidal feelings or ideation. It really, we have to be very careful being consumers of not just social media, but just all devices and sort of our reliability on these devices every single day and how much time we're spending behind the screen. The kids are particularly at risk because they generally don't have the same ability to sort of have a higher level of consciousness in terms of saying, this is too much. I don't feel like myself. This is why I'm not feeling like myself, because I'm spending, you know, 8 hours a day on my phone, or I'm up all night on my phone. Kids sometimes don't even realize what they're doing. I do have to say, I'm surprised by some of the people that we're seeing lately, just because of the election results, of people saying they can't go to work because of what happened during the election, or they can't talk to certain relatives, or they have distanced themselves from friends. Those are all really negative things and can be very detrimental to someone's mental health. And it's important for us all to have different opinions and for us to be able to hold space for people that have different opinions. And I really think we overall need to keep ourselves in check too, because it is very easy to just become completely enraged and rageful and live a life where you're super angry all the time. And that does not lead to good mental health.
Are you seeing more kids today who are interested in talking about news topics, news opinions, than maybe 20 years ago? I know that you've been at this for a time and social media is more prevalent now. Could you compare the two worlds? I mean, before it was probably kids regurgitating what they heard from their parents or other family members who were older. Are they getting more of that information from social media today?
I mean, it's interesting that you asked me that question. To tell you the truth, I haven't heard. We run several IOP programs. So we run intensive outpatient programs for tweens and teens. And truthfully, they have not even talked about the election at all. So that hasn't even been a blip on the screen for them, surprisingly enough.
Interesting. Okay. Okay.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Lots of talk about Halloween and even like the holidays coming up, but the election was not something that was seen as important, at least for the kids that we have in that in those two groups.
Very interesting. One other thing I wanted to draw on, and you mentioned it a little bit just now, was something that I heard J.D. Vance, the senator, now vice president-elect, say on the campaign trail, which was, it's not something to lose friends and family over. However, the election happens, which we now know how it happened, but at the time we didn't. However it goes down, it's not worth ruining friendships and families over. I do know people who have cut ties with friends, or they don't talk to them as much anymore, or they don't talk to family at all. And this is that time of year where we start to think about seeing relatives for Thanksgiving, the holidays, the new year, etc. Could you comment a little bit more on that and how to manage those relationships better if there's a disagreement?
So I think it goes back to the same thing about, politics and religion, that, it's good to kind of keep sometimes your opinions to yourself. I completely agree with J.D. Vance about not allowing the a political difference to break up a friendship or a relationship. I do think it is a shame if we're not able to hold space for people that have different political opinions than ourselves. I think that is something we have to learn how to do as a society, that people are allowed to have differences of opinions and believe in different things. And one thing I have heard from political people who were upset about the election results have said that they were upset because they feel like people in America don't care about them. I feel like this election has been taken very, very personally for many people. And I think overall people were not voting against other people in this election. I felt like people were voting for positively different things, but I didn't feel like overall the American people were out voting because they disliked groups of people. I could be wrong about that, but I feel like that is sort of a very negative way to take this election. And I do think, again, people are taking it very personally. I don't think elections are based on individuals. I think people elect other people into office based on things much greater than just themselves.
And talking about accepting, even disagreeing with the results of an election, how can people handle that better? Obviously, those who are in support of Kamala Harris are disappointed. Likewise, those who are in favor of Donald Trump are happy, and they see this as a time of celebration. And those in between, they have mixed feelings. And it's okay to have those feelings, but they can, as we've been talking about, get out of hand. So how can people better manage their own internal reaction to what happened on Tuesday in the election?
I do think sometimes within some families or friendships, it's best to not talk about politics, especially if it starts becoming very heated, and to maintain the relationship and to sort of set boundaries around the relationship in terms of, we're not going to talk about these things. I love you. I adore you. But we're not, even within, spouses' relationships. I mean, there can be very big differences in terms of who the wife voted for and who the husband voted for. It's very important to understand that we all don't have the same lived experience, and so we don't all have the same view. And understanding someone else's point of view, and even just validating it, and it doesn't mean that you agree with it, but it's just like, I understand where you're coming from, and I understand that this has got to be hurtful for you, you know, but I love you and I'm here to support you, but I don't have to think the same way you think because I haven't had your same lived experience, you know? But I think sometimes, especially after this election, I think people are looking for that validation, you know, for example, if one person is a Trump supporter and the other person was a Kamala supporter, I think saying to the Kamala supporter, if they're very upset with you or, you know, you're at sort of a crossroads in your relationship, I think validating that this was hurtful for the other side, that this was hurtful for Kamala supporters, and that you understand where they're coming from. But there shouldn't be I really believe within friendships, it's not a friendship and it's not a healthy relationship if the person says, I'm not going to be friends with you, or I'm not going to be your friend if you don't think exactly the same way I do. I feel like that's not fair.
I'm Morgan Cunningham. It's Face Connecticut. In case you're just listening in and joining us, I'm with Dr. Christine Schlichting of Hopewell Health Solutions, and we are in Glastonbury recording this, so it's nice to sit down with the doctor and have a conversation about politics and a little bit about the holidays. Let's say that there has been a relationship that in the past was ruined in some way, perhaps because of politics. It could be something else, too. I mean, there's always family drama that we could discuss and get into. Let's say that with the holidays, you're thinking, I'm going to maybe get in touch with this person again, see if I can revisit that relationship. What would you say about a situation like that and trying to go and achieve some level of reconciliation?
I think, you know, reaching out to the person and saying, you know, I'm wondering how you're doing. I care about you. And then also remembering what you like doing together. You know, if you guys like to meet at a coffee shop together, trying to meet in person. I really think so much miscommunication and negative stuff happens over text or, you know, even phone calls, but texts are the absolute, absolute worst. I mean, you cannot understand someone's energy. You can't really read them. You can't understand where they're coming from. There's no back and forth. There's no discourse in a text. So I really think the most important thing is if you can't meet in person, try to do a Zoom or talk on the phone. Do not text each other. And then try to meet in person and try to do things, maybe take a walk together or go shopping together or get a coffee together and just sit down and try to have a human-to-human conversation. At the end of the day, we're all humans. We all have deep flaws. We all are funny. We all want to have connections to other people. And just remembering to do that in the most humanistic way possible.
Well, look at that. We have really spent the whole show talking about politics. I told you we could. But we're down to the last few moments. Any final thoughts that you'd like to share either on politics or keeping in mind that we are coming up on the holidays and people are going to be getting together, families and friends, and sometimes that can cause tension, sometimes that could cause a lot of joy. But as we approach that time of the year, what should people keep in mind?
I think it's a very difficult time of the year. This is always one of the busiest time of the year in mental health because of the high level of emotions during this time. So I just heard about this the other day, and I just love this saying. They talk about doing micro care. So micro care, or, you know, taking care of yourself in micro amounts is sort of just like a way to schedule things that you enjoy doing and down moments. So, you know, throughout the day, maybe even if it's a minute or 2 minutes of listening to music that you really enjoy, or reading like an actual book, or reading poems, or even creating poems, or drawing, or going for a walk and being very mindful and being in the moment, you know, picking up the phone and talking to somebody for a few minutes, and then, you know, scheduling breaks and scheduling larger moments than a micro moment to yourself, but really trying to think about, other than work or what you sort of do every day that's in your ordinary, what can you do and what gives you deep peace and deep recentering, and then building in those micro moments throughout the day to build that practice.
Dr. Schlichting, I really appreciate your sitting down with me and taking the time to come on Face Connecticut again. Always a pleasure to get your insights. Anything else you want to add?
I just hope everybody has a great holiday season and takes really good care of themselves and their loved ones. And I wish everybody the best.
We'll talk again. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.